All this week, we've been hearing about terrorism in the region around the Horn of Africa and the fight against it. We've had stories from Somalia, Kenya, Yemen, and we're going to wrap up our series today in rural Ethiopia and Djibouti. After September 11th, the United States set up a regional counterterrorism base in Djibouti. What began as a U.S. mission to root out extremists in the area has turned into something of a goodwill operation, an effort to prevent terrorists from establishing a staging ground or safe haven. Here's NPR's Eric Westerveld.
A convoy of white pickup trucks and SUVs rumbles over dirt ruts, what passes for a road in this rural part of eastern Ethiopia known as the Ogaden. The cars kick up massive clouds of dust that settle over the thatched roof huts. U.S. Army Staff Sergeant Charles McDermott is at the wheel.
And what it is right now, a desert. And basically put these people in a position where they couldn't feed themselves and had no income whatsoever.
The Ogaden is an area subjected to regular, devastating droughts and famine. The topsoil has turned to dust.
See, this is the river that they use for everything, their drinking water, their irrigation. You can notice that the banks are pretty high, you know, and so it takes quite an amount of time for them to actually just do a little bit of farming.
The village is called Godre. The American soldiers are all members of Combined Joint Task Force Horn of Africa, or CJTF-HOA. They've arrived here unannounced and bearing gifts.
Today we're going to drop off a one-piston water pump that's going to irrigate 15 to 30 hectares of land in this village.
That's about 75 acres.
Mohammed, ask where the elders are.
They're just in their houses.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So we're going to sit around the talking tree?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's hard to miss the talking tree. It's the only tree in the village. News soon spreads that American soldiers are here. Dozens of men wearing head wraps, women dressed in brilliant colors, and partially clad children come pouring out of their huts. The men squat on the dusty ground under the branches.
We are sorry we don't have seats for you.
No.
Yeah, he's talking about that, you know.
This is good.
Marine Corps Major General Timothy Gormley, commander of CJTF-HOA, crouches along with half of the village.
I understand that you have a need for a pump, and we are going to present you the pump today on behalf of CJTF-HOA. And I expect to come back soon and enjoy the fruits of your labor. Mahadsani.
Irrigation pumps are in short supply around here, and this region, populated mostly by ethnic Somali Muslims, has long been neglected by successive Ethiopian governments. And the central government today remains preoccupied with political unrest over disputed elections and an ongoing border dispute with neighboring Eritrea. Villagers move the irrigation pump off the truck, greeting the gift with smiles and a few puzzled looks. The U.S. military freely admits it's a gift that comes with strings attached. The Ogaden runs along Ethiopia's porous border with Somalia. There are at least two militant groups operating in the area, including one pushing for an independent ethnic Somali state in the Ogaden. The U.S. military, armed with a $1,400 water pump, is hoping to buy a little goodwill and possibly put a down payment on future cooperation and intelligence. 40-year-old Wali is a village leader.
We understand that the United States government is the only government that needs to take care of the people of Ethiopia today. Right now that we saw what's the real picture of the United States Army.
This is not the perception of the U.S. military across the Horn of Africa, where anti-Americanism still runs deep. And one small pump to one small remote village may seem irrelevant in the scope of a global battle. But in remote parts of the Horn, a few carefully placed wells and schools seem to be having an impact.
I don't see Al-Qaeda around here anywhere, digging wells. They're not building bridges.
This U.S. Special Forces Master Sergeant didn't want his name used. A combat veteran with 15 years in the Army, he's done two combat tours in Afghanistan and one in Iraq. He calls this U.S. effort in East Africa the real war on terrorism.
If you pull the trigger here, you've lost. And you can't change a culture, but you're going to influence it. This is where we're going to win, is right here. It's preventive medicine.
And preventive medicine is the bulk of what the Task Force Horn of Africa does. Its headquarters are at a former French base in Djibouti, an ex-French colony. The task force was set up after 9/11 to stop an expected migration of Al-Qaeda from Afghanistan to this lawless region. But that never happened. So today, the 1,200 American servicemen and women assigned here are not what the military calls trigger pullers. Task Force Commander Timothy Gormley.
Did come down here getting ready to kick in doors. It evolved to a more unconventional warfare. My point men are doctors, veterinarians, engineers, dentists.
With a budget of just $26 million a year, supporters say it's U.S. taxpayer dollars well spent. America is spending some $6 billion a month in Iraq, and the volatile Horn region is five times larger than Iraq and Afghanistan combined. The work here, holding medical and veterinary clinics, digging wells, and building schools. There is some military-to-military training, mainly for border security. It's the kind of mission one would think U.S. allies might rush to be a part of, a model for a humanitarian-tinted war on terrorism. But so far, it's a coalition of the wanting. There are no coalition troops on the ground in the task force, just a few European officers assigned to headquarters.
Three of us at the moment, about to be joined by another, so there'll be four total.
That's the number of British forces in the task force, says UK Lieutenant Colonel Nigel Smith.
I suppose the issue is who's going to take credit for all the good work. And I think from a national perspective, if one's funding it, then probably one likes to keep the recognition. Because, you know, we have our own goals that we need to pursue as well.
The U.S. is working to get more allies on board here, but the military says the legal, logistical, and diplomatic complexities of working in multiple countries with a mixture of foreign troops are proving tough obstacles. Others criticize the task force for not doing more to deal with the biggest danger in the region.
We don't have a political strategy to address the instability in Somalia.
Ted Danye with the Congressional Research Service says the military can dig 1,000 wells for Somalia's neighbors, but it's all for naught, he says, if the U.S. and its allies don't directly engage Somalia.
There is a disconnect there. You can spend as much as you want, you can have as many troops as you want, but if you don't address the root causes of the problem, both political and social, you're likely to have a failed policy.
The latest attempt to build a workable Somali state, the 14th in 15 years, appears to be falling apart as rival warlords refuse to share power. Out of that instability, experts warn, it's only a matter of time before militants mount another big terrorist attack on Western interests in the Horn region, perhaps using Somalia as a base or safe haven. Many U.S. officials agree. Military leaders here say eventually extremists in Afghanistan, Iraq, or on the Arabian Peninsula will have to move somewhere else. One Marine officer said, "We believe we are the only direction they can come." As for Somalia, Major General Gormley says, until State Department policy in Washington changes, the task force will continue to work only on Somalia's edges.
We would go into Somalia as soon as we're allowed. As soon as DOS gives us the head nod, we'll go in. And we're just waiting patiently.
What that intervention might look like is unclear. For now, anyway, the Horn region is the quiet front in the war on terrorism. But the military sees this task force as key and something of a model for battling what they call the long war against terrorism. Eric Westervelt, NPR News.
And you can hear the previous four parts of Eric's series and see a map of the Horn of Africa region at npr.org.